Oh yeah. I was prepping for the show and sitting in the Paul W. Smith conference room preparing for today. And I realized that one of the topics we're going to have to discuss is this immigration crackdown. So we reached out to one of the most seasoned, respected political journalists in America, Newsmax's own John Gizzi, known for his sharp insight, deep historical knowledge, and unmatched access inside Washington. John has spent decades breaking down the stories behind the headlines. He's like our very own walking ChatGPT. Get ready for a lively, informative conversation with a true heavyweight in political reporting. John Gizzi, how are you today?
Rocky, after an introduction like that about the only thing a gentleman can do is die, I feel great.
I hope not during the program. We've got a lot to discuss. John, what's going on in Washington? There's so much, especially, let's start off with the Minnesota fraud with Governor Waltz and this $1 billion that not a conservative newspaper, but a liberal newspaper like the New York Times breaks and says that their unions are reporting that there's $1 billion of fraud in Minnesota that's been funneled to these Somali organizations.
Right. And the Somali immigrants are a big presence in Minnesota. Of course, at least one congressman is of Somali descent. But the whole idea about money illegally being used to benefit them and their organizations comes from the state and the state capital at St. Paul. The New York Times, which did an exhaustive investigative report, concluded that the man at the top, Governor Tim Walz, the 2024 vice presidential nominee with Kamala Harris, is responsible. He, of course, is denying this, and one's guess would be that this is going to drag on for months now in terms of an investigation, and it all comes as Governor Waltz is seeking an unprecedented third term in the state house.
Yeah,
meaning we're going to hear about this.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the Democrats, especially from this potential vice presidential, or he was the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, I'm sure that the Democrats view him like an Uber driver with a 2-star rating. They don't want anything to do with him, I'm sure. Is that what you're hearing?
This is what I'm hearing, and Minnesota does have a history of sitting statewide office holders taking on incumbent governors in primaries in the past, going back to the 1960s. So it would not surprise him if an alternative Democrat candidate arises. This is a story I'm going to be working on, by the way, for Newsmax.
Well, we'll have to cover it then as well. Listen, let's move on to the administration's crackdown on immigration during the cabinet meeting. I know that the president was talking about immigration during the cabinet meeting and a few other things that are breaking right now because the cabinet meeting is actually taking place. And we've learned about the two National Guardsmen that were tragically shot.
Very
and,
sad.
And yes, extremely. And by someone that was actually raised from the age of 15, taken in by the CIA, vetted and trained in Afghanistan and then brought here, but yet did not speak a lick of English or really care to be in the United States. What's the president talking about regarding his administration's crackdown on immigration?
Well, the first thing is that countries in the Middle East, including Iran, Iraq, 17 other countries, plus some in Africa that are considered to have a strong terrorist presence, are simply going to be denied the right to have their residents emigrate to the U.S., whether they go through the process of immigration, the legal way, or not. And this he will do by executive order. He's almost sure to be challenged on that by Democrats in Congress, as well as some in the legal community. But the fact is that given these horrific shootings that occurred, including taking the wife of one young lady with the West Virginia National Guard. The president certainly has support for what he's doing. Now, again, we get on a slippery slope. So many in Afghanistan worked with the U.S. military as well as the CIA.
Very true.
And in turn, they were people whose lives were threatened had they stayed in Kabul. So the U.S. generally has an attitude of rewarding those who risk their lives to work with them. This doesn't mean these are all good people, however, and sometimes tragedy arises from it.
No, and I agree. And working with an interpreter myself with my team when I was in the Army overseas in the war, those are individuals that obviously are somewhat vetted, but you always still keep an eye on them, and hopefully they do the job that you're asking them to do, and that they're proving themselves to want to be here and be Americans. Obviously, this individual, as well as others, were not. So let's move on to a real hot topic right now. And Chuck Schumer was on the Senate floor, and he was actually talking about President Trump getting us into a war. This is what he said.
And so Americans are right to wonder, what on earth is Donald Trump planning in Venezuela?
So the question is, what is President Trump planning on in Venezuela? Because before I tell you, from my perspective, John, I believe we're going to take out the cartels from airstrikes and potentially destabilize Maduro, the president of Venezuela.
There have been 80 deaths so far at the hands of U.S. battleships. We certainly have seen Secretary of War Hegseth come under fire for defending the admiral in charge of the strikes, killing in some cases Venezuelans. The Venezuelan Congress and its Senate president in particular have called for an investigation. However, overall, it would seem that this is a president who first and foremost wants to avoid putting fighting men and women in harm's way unless he absolutely has to. He does not want war. And it would not surprise me if these conversations with the Marxist President Maduro of Venezuela lead to him leaving that country and going into exile and permitting Maria Corchada, who was denied the right to run for president in a race she would have won, the opportunity to finally be elected in a free election.
Well, 15 seconds left. Real quickly, tell us what's going to happen with the continuing resolution that's been kicked down the road. That's the resolution that funds our government, kicked down the road till January after this 45-day, January 1st or 31st, right? Or what day? What day is the continuing resolution over?
Well, at the end of January, January 1st is the day that the premiums that Joe Biden enlarged the Affordable Care Act with are going to run out. And that was a problem that finally the Congress agreed to separate from the continuing resolution. My guess is they will resolve a market-based solution with health savings account that many cities in Michigan use for municipal employees as a means of making sure the costly premiums don't come back in the form we are at because we can't afford it.
John, thank you very much for being on. We're going to be talking about those healthcare premiums next with Andy Hetzel, the Vice President of Communications for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And he'll talk to us about what we need to do to lower healthcare costs. This is Rocky Rutschkowski sitting in for Paul W. Smith on WJR.